Willow Creek Springs presents Healthy Living with your host, Joe Grumbine.
I would like to welcome everybody to the Healthy Living podcast. And this is a podcast sponsored by Willow Creek Springs. And I'm Joe Grumbine, your host. I am the president of Willow Creek Springs and the formulator. Been working with trying to live a healthy life for the last several years at least. And I've come to realize that there's more to it than any of us ever thought or were told. And so we've created this podcast as a platform to share ideas and hopefully create a value both for the people speaking and the people listening. The complexity of the gut biome and its ability to absorb and process and also, you know, the negative side of that, it's reactivity and sensitivity to certain things. You know, what do you think that plays into this whole equation?
No, I definitely think there's a huge piece there, right? We know that there's a gut brain axis, right? That those things are related and connected. The largest, you know, nervous system per se might be your gut, your entire, you know, system there that is influenced by the microbiota that are present. So the gut microbiome, hugely, hugely important, right? I think we've got enough data now to know it is very important and critical towards a number of disease states and to a number of pieces that relate to us being healthy and living well. We don't know exactly, though, which things influence them in which ways or which ways it might be askew or what's the right, you know, best balance for each individual. I think we still have a lot to learn in that regard, but they have seen, you know, these changes may indicate that this is the disease state you're at. This type of profile is lending towards greater inflammation, which is causing other types of disease problems. There is most definitely a lot there. And when you think, you know, what did we eat 1,000 or 10,000 years ago? Well, it probably wasn't Starbucks breakfast or McDonald's, you know, right? Like we didn't have that convenience of all this, you know, other stuff, right? So we are unfortunately creatures of convenience, right? We get media and information instantly in our fingertips now. We can have any type of food that we would want basically by walking down the street, you know, into a grocery store or other convenience store, and as well as, you know, what types of places might I go to grab that food? If I'm on the run, I want something quick. Well, there is 1,000 options for that kind of stuff these days. Are they the best things for me? And, you know, even the plant-based foods, how processed might they be? You know, like whole plant means I'm trying to stick as close to the earth and do as little processing perhaps as possible. Certainly can prepare food. Some foods are better if I heat them or not, but some are better when I haven't heated them because I'm going to destroy some of the beneficial pieces that I would ingest otherwise if I just ate it raw. But you know, to take a, let's say, make a radical change, right, from maybe where you're at today to something else, that's really, really hard. Sometimes we can get to that place by going incremental. Anything that you can do is going to lend towards some improvement. You might need to do all of it till you finally get to the place that you want to go. But, you know, just starting to get on the path and saying, okay, I'm going to make some incremental changes. I'm going to do some, you know, eat better 3 times a week. Then I'm going to eat better 5 times a week, you know, 3 months from now. And now I really like this. That becomes easier to get to that 7 days a week. Okay, now I'm going to start to exercise a little bit after that. You know, if you try to do everything at once, it may just be overwhelming because you didn't slide to this place all at once either, right?
Yeah, like, it ends up being a New Year's resolution and you know, good for a month and then down it goes, right? Gym membership.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of it is mindset, right? When you say, I'm going to do it and I'm committed to doing it, if that's the first step, you take that step, you've probably got a good shot.
Right.
Retaining that mindset can be very difficult because it takes a lot of effort to make that whole change actually grab hold and stick. But I think it does kind of start with that. So there, you know, there are a lot of things, but I think it's tough when you're like, well, I really should eat better, but I'm in a hurry. So I'll just go grab that burrito because it's right here. It's $3 and you know, it takes me 20 seconds to get it.
And it's not that bad. You know?
Is it that bad?
Yeah.
Right. Tastes great. Right. One thing I think that like kind of stuck in my head was the food executives talk about stomach share. They say, how much of your stomach does my like food comprise? Like what portion of folks, you know, are going after me, right? You can't eat everything that I give you, but if I can get 40% of what's filling your stomach out of, you know, my food or more, I'm doing economically great. So we live in a place where it's driven by economics, right? We have to drive that machine so that we can pay for people, you know, get our salaries, bump stock prices, do whatever, right? That's just the state of it. That probably didn't exist the same, you know, a long time ago for us either. We weren't encouraged to eat a certain thing because someone wanted to have any economic gain. No. It was, hey, I made this stuff, it's here, or I grew this in my bed, you know, in our little plants here, would you like some? And
we
all that's very different.
Experienced a famine in a minute or two, and you know, in ages past, that was part of the human experience.
Right. You know, or were some nomadic or not? And how did we do crop rotations or not? Who was planting? You pretty much ate what you could harvest and forage, right? Or, you know, randomly you would say somebody got an animal, so we're all going to share some meat, right? It wasn't, I'm going to eat a steak every single day and I'm going to end up getting gout from it, right? Those things are because they're convenient, because they're here. They certainly taste great. But if you think from an evolutionary biology standpoint, that was not an opportunity, you know, for us 10,000 years ago. Someone wasn't running down, you know, a deer every single day saying the whole village could eat as much meat as they wanted every single day for months and months and months on end. This was random. It was rare. We're all going to enjoy it. But we're probably going to go back eating plants, which we grew, you know, for much more so than this case. And I think, you know, it's difficult for us to think backwards like that because we all didn't live then. You know, we're not really trained too much about thinking what was the food patterns or the habits of those folks then. And how might my microbiome, how might my physiology, how might my, you know, even ancestral genetics be geared towards that type of environment or foods? So you see folks like Mediterranean diet, right? You see, hey, maybe I need to have a paleo diet. Maybe I'm more geared towards eating this type. That might be rooted in your ancestral DNA, you know, a little bit more. But now you live in, you know, Los Angeles or Philadelphia, right? And you can get cheesesteak sandwiches every single day. You know, that might not have been what your folks were eating, you know, 10,000 years ago. So I don't see much of this taught, you know, in many schools. You don't see many people thinking, why might my body respond to these foods this way? What are the inputs I should get? What you see is advertising, advertising, advertising. You love this, you want this, you should have this. Should I have it? I mean, it tastes great. So it's, you know, kind of an engineered to taste good. My kids love the goldfish, right? I'm like, this guy, like it's like something fierce. Like, genius, you know, that and cheese puffs, right? You're like, awesome. Right. Like, got to be careful. I'm like, how about a pretzel instead? You know, there are choices that you could make. And I think we're even trained at a very early age, right? Like, I think your palate evolves a little bit over time, but you certainly have these things saying, this was offered and I like that, therefore I'm going to stick with what I like. Right. Trying some new foods, I see a lot of people very resistant to that. So trying to make a diet change, we see how many people do that and fall off. Like, it's really, really, really difficult. And like I was saying, if you're going to do like 3 days or 5 days, maybe you're like, half my meal is going to be healthy, you know, then I'm going to start with three quarters and I'm just getting started in somewhat. Right. I think if you do that, like, you could almost see the benefits of just eating healthy for a day where you're like, wow, I felt like really good that day. Or the next day I woke up really pepped and for some reason I felt kind of good. Like, it doesn't take much to kind of convince yourself. And once you're convinced, your mindset is much more rooted effectively. And I think you're going to be, you know, more likely to stay on that type of path.
I think too, setting milestones that you can see. So for example, for me, I needed to lose weight. It was just a physical thing. So I said to myself, okay, well, I'm going to get from here to there. I'm going to jump on that scale every day and know where I'm at. And it helped me to to recognize progress. So they say you got to feed the Labrador brain a little bit, you know, give yourself a little, yeah, little dopamine, being a good boy, right? And then and it feels good, and then you want to do it again. And so I think a lot of times, like in any process, whether it's, you know, mastering an instrument or physical training or whatever, or even, you know, just writing and studying, there's, you hit a plateau. You know, we're going along, we're making progress, and it feels good. And then all of a sudden you feel like you're not getting anywhere. And to be able to power through some of those flat spots and find a way to keep that motivation going. I think setting these little milestones and getting to where maybe you have a place, you know, like you said, I feel good in getting back to a place where that becomes a snapshot that you can go to. Like years ago, I used to help people, you know, with their grows. And, you know, what happens in a grow over time, if the grow gets unhealthy, it doesn't happen overnight. And you go into the room and I walk into a room that I'd never been in. And I'm like, wow, what's wrong? Because in my mind, I didn't see those plants every single day for the last 20 days. And they're all yellow and spotty. And they're like, no, everything's great. I'm like, well, I always tell people, you know, get a picture of a healthy leaf and walk in there every day with that. And you got to compare your plant to that, because that's what's healthy and you don't notice it. So if there's a way you can grab a snapshot of, you know, I feel this way, like maybe you wake up in the morning and do 20 pushups. And that's no problem. And you feel good after doing it. All right. There's something that you could do to say, you know, I'm okay today. What do you think about that?
Yep. No, I think so. And I think, you know, in trying to make these changes, like you said, like it's very motivating when you can see those quick results. And, you know, if you're going to make a big change, you'll see, you know, some quick results right away. Right. But that 85 to 90% of the change will come probably pretty rapidly. Eking out that last, you know, 10% or last few percent, those incremental little changes, that's, you know, the difference. Those are the really hard things that take a lot of dedication and steadfastness to kind of get through. So, you know, don't get deterred. Remember, wow, I've got a whole lot of the change I've already affected here. This is great. And I'll just keep on the path. And I know that, you know, it might take weeks to see that next 1% develop, where it only took 1 week to kind of see 60% of it kind of come to fruition. It's a mindset thing, right? And I think you have to think about, you're running the marathon, right? So the marathon runners, just, you know, they're constant. They just say, I'm going to hit every mile the same pace. And then maybe that last one's going to be there when I'm running the race. But your race in this case of life never ends, right? So I've got to pace myself for the marathon. I'm not sprinting out of the gate so that I pass out, you know, in the first 2 miles or whatever. So it's really a recognition of, it's going to happen over time. There'll be some things happen quickly, but the rest of it will happen slowly, and I will eventually get there. But, you know, where is there? Then it's maintaining that constant pace. And that's a different mindset. I mean, it's like, you know, I'm sure you're kind of a little bit like me. Like, you have an inventive piece, you come up with an idea that's super wildly exciting. Then you go and implement it and you're like, well, other folks like to keep the implementation going, because I kind of get a little bored with that and I'll go on to the next thing. You know, it's difficult to say, I'm going to do that same thing consistently every single time, or I'm going to eat the same way every day. I'm going to have my exercise regimen. But that's being honest with yourself and saying, look, I know this is a challenge. I can overcome that, but I'm on the right path, or I do feel better. And I have to remember, I feel a lot better than I did before. So I am doing the right thing. And I don't want to let myself slide back to where it was. And again, you know, most of us recognize this probably in our like 30s, 40s, 50s, right? You didn't get there in 3 years, right? It did take 30, 40, 50 years to kind of slide to that point. So it might not have taken that whole time, but it probably took, you know, 10 years, maybe more, for you to finally get to that place. So it might take you 10 years to get out of there. And I think, you know, that's probably the hard recognition of it, because we are in like an instant gratification society, even worse so today than it was a while ago. So you say, I want to make the change. Why didn't I see all the results tomorrow? Well, it's going to take a little bit longer than that. So what can I see in the next few weeks? What can I see in the next few months? And where do I want to see myself at my next annual physical? Where do I want to see myself, you know, 5 years from that? Like for you, right? One of our parents passes away and you say, I don't want to go down that path. Like, right. I know I'm going to do better. So my goal is to outlive what their lifeline was. So if it was 70 years old, my target is 80, right? So at 70, I'll know, okay, I'm here. Did I make it to 80? Great. Can I get to 90? But you got a while till you get there, right? So the mindset has to say, stay on my path until I get there. It will not be easy, but it is easy to be a product of convenience, to be lazy towards those things, to say, great, oh, that was the food that was presented to me. I should just go ahead and eat that. I don't want to really go prepare my healthy meal. I'll just go grab, you know, the next burrito. I think you just have to be conscious of every single time, whatever inputs you're putting into yourself, those are making an impact. Your body's always trying to balance itself. And when you reintroduce those things, it will slide back to where you were. And my having changed my diet over 10 years, I can tell you instantly if there was something that I wasn't supposed to have at this point.
Right.
But when you first get started, I wouldn't have known that. So
I think that's one thing that happens as you get, like, you know, my diet has changed dramatically as well. And I, you know, I didn't go vegan, but certainly way more of a plant-based diet. And I grow a lot of the plants that I eat. And, you know, that's a part of the whole project too. But you know what's weird? And I never could understand it. I guess, you know, they never said life was fair. But, you know, you can go through and make positive changes for weeks, months, or even years and accomplish, you know, like you say, there's a bell curve and you make this big change and then you level off and you kind of hit a stasis period. And then, you know, you might get closer to your goals, but it's way harder once you hit that sort of, you know, 85 or whatever that mark is where it flattens out. But man, you go the other direction and you just say, I'm on vacation. I'm going to do what I want for 4 days. And you're like, wham! I mean, I come out of the vacation and I'm totally inflamed. I've put on 5 pounds and it takes another, you know, 3 weeks to
four weeks to get out of that, right?
Get out of it. I'm like, what the hell? How does that even happen that way? It's crazy.
It is interesting how that works that way, right? It's definitely not fair. And, you know, again, you're like, I'm an individual. I can't eat those foods. Now, that person over there may be able to stuff their face with that, you know, donut 3 times a day, every day, and not see anything impact their cholesterol or sugar levels. They're fine. Their body runs differently than mine. I'd love to have the donut. It would be fantastic. But I can't have that. So it's not fair, but that's just how it is. You know, I can't argue fair. I just have to accept the data I was given and say, here's the best things for me. So I want to stick around. You know, I'm not going to choose that short term, you know, oh, this is so gratifying. The donut tastes fantastic. I'm going to go eat healthy. I'll have a bowl of oatmeal with some fruits instead so that I'm, you know, on my own path and doing what's best for me. But enjoy the donut, sir. You can have as many as you want. God bless you. Lucky you. You know, unfortunately, I'm not the same.
Right.
But I think it's just, that's frustrating, right? But you just have to realize that's me as an individual. I know I can't do those things. Or if I do, even on vacation, I'll have a huge repercussion for that. And is that really worth it? You know, sometimes I think we'll all probably try that once. Oh, sure, let's go off the wagon and see what happens. Then, you know, the next 4 weeks, you're like, I don't think that was worth it.
Yeah,
and I'm not going to try to do that again.
Right.
Well, you probably know, do it once.
There's a little bit of a caveat maybe is that over time, when you develop healthy habits, you'll come to get reward from that in the sense of like, I've even come to appreciate and even crave foods that I was never into based on my new eating habits. And so, you know, I'll crave a giant bowl of salad that, you know, would feed a whole family of most people. And I'll gobble that thing down with a bunch of olive oil on it and just go, man, that was, and feel as satisfied and rewarded from that as I might have, you know, a big old slab of garlic bread or something that would have been, you know, this, given me that, or craving some broccoli or something that I never in a million years would have craved. And today I'll have that. I almost never crave a donut the way I used to. And so,
Yep. I don't miss some of those things, right? It's kind of amazing. I think you do a little bit in the beginning, but after a while you're like, well, I don't really need to have that.
Right.
So, okay. And you're listening to your body really well, right? When it says like, I'm craving, like that's it's telling you, I want those nutrients or I want the pieces that go with that. So I'll have a giant bowl of salad. And yeah, you know, I think we don't recognize what is satiation and how do I feel full. You know,
right.
But you know, salad is great. It's bulky. It fills right. my stomach. It sends, you know, signals to my brain that says I ate and I am full.
Right.
So instead of highly condensed, you know, really nutrient dense types of foods that say I eat a bunch of those till I fill my stomach with the same volume.
Right.
I now have, you know, 2000 extra calories. That's probably not what my body was looking to try and process.
Absolutely.
But I wanted to feel full. Right. So what am I filling myself with? How do I get to that point to finally tell my brain, yes, I've eaten and be comfortable. I will eat again. Right. So maybe I need to eat bulkier meals and more frequently. Right. And that's difficult in our society when you've got, you know, breakfast, lunch and dinner. Can I get snack times? You know, sometimes workplaces are more amenable or friendly to that than some other places. It can be difficult to say, I feel satiated and I'm not, you know, feeling like I'm starving myself on my new changes that I've made.
Well, and the whole notion of satiation and, you know, eating when we're hungry, as opposed to eating for any other reason. And I think that most people, myself included, will eat for any number of reasons, and actually being hungry is sometimes the least of them.
Yeah, yeah. We probably all waited last Thursday, right, to say like, okay, like when is the giant meal? Maybe is it 3 o'clock? Well, maybe I'll skip the lunch thing here. I want to make sure to gorge myself then.
Right.
You know, and I think there's always a funny part of that, the tryptophan myth, right? Like, did I feel like I was sleepy because of that? No, it's just because you ate so much. Your body's like, I'm just going to pass out now and make sure to try to process this.
Your body can't shut everything else.
Shut everything else down and work on the food you just gorged yourself with.
Right.
You know, that's an interesting sign, but I, you know, I think for a while we were told it wasn't because you were so full. Like you were told it was tryptophan, something in the turkey was causing that.
Right.
That's not the case. It's because you were so full with so many calories, you know, your body just said, time to go sleep so I can process this and deal with only that and not anything else you want to do right now. Which again is kind of like a point of we're still learning a lot, right? And there's not one message that may be perfect for each person that's listening to this, right? It's a collective information. It's how do I educate myself on all these pieces? What's right for me? Feel free to experiment. You know, I think experimenting with foods is probably one of the safest things we could experiment with.
Absolutely.
You know, what do you like to eat? What don't you like to eat? But how did you feel, right? Maybe my mouth will adjust to saying, all right, I might not like the taste of this so much, but my body felt so much better. My mouth will catch up over time. And I'll start to really like to eat the, you know, fill in the blank, the tomatoes that I should have, or the right. olives that I, you know, didn't really like to begin with. I think it's okay to say, let's go ahead and experiment with better foods that I made and, you know, made in my own hands, things that were closer to the earth and things that are not, you know, contaminated or processed highly in a number of ways. One other piece that stuck with me is, you know, they do cadaver studies on decay out in like the woods, right? Like in the middle of America. So somewhere, I think it was Tennessee. So they'll take bodies for science. They'll put them out in the woods and they'll clock them and kind of understand, hey, if we came upon this, you know, what does it look like in a week? What does it look like in a month or 6 months? You know, so I can do forensic science about that and try and determine when might this, you know, murder or whatever have happened. And I can start to say, how long was it here based on the amount of decay and the bugs that show up and all sorts of other stuff? Well, what we've seen over time is that our bodies decay slower than they used to, and it's presumably because of all the preservatives
we've been eating.
I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
That was, you know,
kind of
like
one of those other,
yeah, like eye-opening types of, okay, those things have really stuck with us, and they really are making an impact, but they're in our highly processed foods, because I don't want things that are unstable on the shelf. I've got longer supply chains. You know, how we ripen our vegetables before they get to the grocery store is an interesting piece.
Oh, yeah.
How much have I packed these things full of which preservatives so that they last in the package for as long as needed? I think just being cognizant of some of those things and saying, maybe I'll get a local farm's food and I'll have stuff that wasn't processed for that a couple times a week. I'll go to the farmer's market in addition to the grocery store.
So yeah, it's interesting. If you go to the farmer's market in addition, or if you grow your own food and you pick something, number one, you're going to pick it closer to the right point or at the right point. And then you'll notice it only has a very short lifespan in your fridge or in a jar or in anything, because it's already at that peak point. Whereas you buy something from the grocery store, I mean, it'll last for, 400% longer. I mean, a week and something's still there. You're like, what the heck? It's crazy.
Yep. It's a big, big difference. And that maybe is another piece of the habit, like going to the grocery store, or the supermarket or even a farmer's market, every day or every other day. I think some folks are like, I go once a week because I only have time for doing that. And it will cause you to buy different stuff, right? Because things will, not last the entire week if you buy them. But maybe I get a few things that way and a few other things in a quicker visit that are more fresh. And I go have like a fresh salad or something else for lunch or dinner that day or the next day. Those things are big lifestyle changes to make too, but can make huge impacts on how well and healthy you feel.
Well, Jeff, we're down to the last few minutes. And as I suspected, we were going to have so much to talk about that we wouldn't even scratch the surface of a lot of topics. And of course that happened. It's been really a pleasure to speak with you again. I don't think we've had a minute to talk in a while.
It's been a while.
Your background in my experience has been about, testing compounds and about isolating compounds and it's interesting when I was a kid growing up and you think about marketing and commercials and things like that, there might have been a commercial for Bayer aspirin or something, and at the same time there was a commercial for cigarettes and whiskey, and now today there's targeted pharmaceutical commercials every time you blink your eye. And, I can't help but wonder, how much of an influence the pharmaceutical industry is on, the way doctors practice, the way patients, seek treatment and that sort of thing. And then you get into plant medicine and not just the cannabis plant, but, I've been working with herbal compounds for 30 years. And, it's like any element in learning, the more, it's just, you just realize you don't know anything and you start all over 1,000 times. And when you're dealing with complex chemistry, as even a single plant like the cannabis plant is, I think that it's just an unlimited, playground or school to work from. And I can't help but think that, as we spend more time, I remember talking to, what was his name? Guillermo. He was a researcher.
Yeah. I know who you mean.
Moreno,
yep.
I think.
Moreno, yep.
Yeah. Anyways, he was talking about a research they were doing on a single molecule with a single animal in a single setting and trying to isolate, the effect of this one thing. And that's the problem that we deal with, consuming even one plant, taking a hit or eating or consuming, a super complicated bit of chemistry is how do you know what's doing what?
Right.
And I feel like it's going to take years and years and years to get to the bottom of some of this, but I feel like maybe we're heading in that direction. What do you think on that?
I think we are, right? I think we're learning more about things like the microbiome, complex, systems like the endocannabinoid system. You see, Vincenzo DiMarzo's slides that says, okay, I think we have like CB1, CB2, and then we got, TRPV55 and GPR55, TRPV1, all these other ones that start to show up and you're like, now it's two slides, it'll soon be three. Like, how big is the system, right? You're like, it's as big as I keep looking at, apparently. We kind of gave up naming them CB1, CB2, but they definitely have another large set of them that are interacting that way. I think you know, you look at CBD, we all hear a lot about cannabidiol, sure, and they say it's very important for fill in the blank. Well, I first studied it, and it has some impact on CB1, and it has some impacts on CB2. Well, recent reviews of that will say it impacts 65 different receptors.
Right.
Like, so it was impacting all of them all the time in all those studies. We just were only looking at one of those at a time.
Absolutely.
So, you know, our perspective and approach, I mean, you can kind of think of it like space and the universe, right? Like, hey, I'm only looking at Earth. And then I'm like looking at Earth and the moon and my solar system. Well, now we're like, good Lord, how large is this place? And it keeps seemingly bigger. You know, I used to think it was 100,000 light years. Now I know it's, you know, 14 billion years. Like, wait a minute. Like,
yeah,
it's kind of like that too, right? It goes both outwards for the universe, but downwards towards molecules and particles, right?
Right.
So we don't know a lot. We think we know a lot.
Right.
We know more than we did before. That's great. But we have a whole lot more to learn. And I think you should always take whatever information is given to you today with that type of perspective. Like, okay, that's new info.
Right.
How does that fit in or change what we knew? It's what we know. And what else might change later down the road with that?
Right.
A lot of possibilities. So, you know, I think it's good we live when we do. We know a lot more than we used to, but we still have a lot to learn. And we are learning a lot at hopefully a more increased rate as more people are doing more work on those types of things than we used to have being done. So we'll get there. Just a matter of time.
Absolutely. Well, Jeff Raber, it's been a pleasure. This has been a great conversation, and I hope, you know, we can do this again and maybe get narrow on a topic at one point or another. But is there anything that you want to let people know about, or is there any kind of a shout out you want to do right now?
Well, I want to say thank you for the opportunity to come out here today and speak with everyone. And I just want to say, you know, take it upon yourself to learn as much as you can, to try and do, you know, as healthy a living style as possible for you and yourself. You'll love yourself. Your loved ones will be grateful for you doing that. And feel free to hit me up anywhere. I'm on LinkedIn, Instagram, Dr. Jeff Raber. Feel free to follow me or contact me in any way if I could be of help to anyone. Always interested in fun intellectual dialogue and learning new things as well. So thank you for the opportunity. And I certainly welcome the opportunity to come back in the future sometime and talk some more. It's been a great, fun conversation for sure.
All right, folks, this has been the Healthy Living Podcast. And we thank you for being here. We'll see you next time.